Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to this day the Lord has made of worship and celebration on the Sabbath here at Ripley Presbyterian Church. We're glad you're here with us, joining us in this sacred setting and joining us in your worship setting wherever you are virtually this morning. Before we begin our worship, let's share a few announcements and then any joys or concerns that we'd like to lift up for our prayer list as well. Announcements, back to school supplies are still being collected for the Together for TIPA, our mission emphasis for this month. Thank you for your faithful giving as we have doubled our budget for that outreach ministry this month. You are a blessing to our ministry and to our community in your cheerful giving. Thank you so much. Are there any other announcements we want to share today before we review our prayer list together? Okay, if not, let's share together our prayer updates and concerns. We notified many of you this week by email that Donnie Kowser was admitted into the medical ICU at Corinth Hospital, Magnolia Regional Health Center, and he did have some stents, at least one stent put in, and he's doing really well. We're all grateful that it had caused an irregular heartbeat, but they do believe that medication along with this procedure will help with that. So he shared all of his affection and appreciation for his church family, for your prayers, for Dr. Elliott's guidance in sending him there with that irregularity, but he's recovering well and grateful for your love and support. Kathy Dunaway's back with us today, had a successful procedure this week, been prayerful for you. I also want to add my mom, Sherry. She's had some complications as a result of an eye surgery, and we want to keep lifting her up. She's going to have some follow-up work with that. So let's be prayerful for her. Are there other updates or additions to our prayer list today? Okay. Well, if there are none, friends, this is the day our Lord has made. Let us worship God in joy and in gladness. For our call to worship, hear with me the words of the psalmist from 145. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all our faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Will you join me as we celebrate that call to worship by offering together our prayers of confession to our holy and forgiving God? Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Amen. Hear the words of life from the Apostle Paul to his letter to the church in Rome. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This morning's first reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. If you'd like to follow along, you can look in your pew Bible on page 193. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's pray together once more. God, we are grateful for your words. Your words that comfort us and correct us, that provide nourishment and nurture us along life's journey. And we, O God, as your people, as your children, need your inspiration even to understand the fullness of life found in your words. So in every way that we can, in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, we humble ourselves. We say even in this prayer, in the hearing of this scripture, that we need less of us and more of you. So will you, O God, silence our hearts and minds from the busyness and worries of the world? Will you make us receptive to hear the still small voice of your Spirit now as you breathe these words of life into us? We ask together, God, that you let the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our second lesson for the day is recorded in the Gospel of John. In chapter 6, I'll begin at verse 1 and continue down through verse 21. A lot happening in this story from the evangelist today. So let's listen perhaps even with fresh ears for God's message for us as His children. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd kept following Him because they saw signs that He was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up on a mountain and sat down there with His disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When He looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward Him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He was going to do. Philip answered Him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, who also, He also gave the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, He told His disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that He had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He withdrew again to the mountain by Himself. When evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind that was blowing. And when they rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take Him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward where they were going. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So where do we begin in this passage that has so much happening with the ministry and grace and kindness of our Lord today? I reflect on that word kindness as I heard one of my colleagues in ministry and a professor say this week that the word grace that's often translated in our scriptures can also be translated as kindness. The kindness of our God. In our world of busyness and hatefulness at times, isn't it refreshing to know that the very nature of our God that gives us life and life more abundantly is rooted in kindness, grace, and love. As I said a couple of weeks ago, what we need a little more in our world today is the good news of the gospel. I even went so far to say we need less CNN, less Fox News, and more good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. But I want to say today, as we reflect on these words, where Jesus heard this challenge, where the people were coming, it seems, to try and make him be king, by force even, our NRSV translation says today, challenges us to try to understand what this text is saying to us about our Lord's role in government and our response as his people to the political world around us, our civic leadership. Well, one message, it seems, is that Jesus is certainly proclaiming that his kingdom was not of this world. He was unwilling to see that government leadership by him was his ultimate call to serve this world. Instead, he served with his very life and his love. He was Messiah. But there's also another truth. As I challenge us and I say we need more good news and less of the political news, friends, that's not a call for us to be disengaged politically or in our government and our civic pursuit. I think back, let me explain it this way. I think back to my first year in seminary, and one of the evening classes we were in, our professor, and actually our dean at the time, said, we're going to dismiss class a little early tonight because there's a presidential debate. And I want us to all have a chance to participate and hear from the candidates. And I thought to myself, even as he said that, wait a minute, I'm called to ministry. I finally surrendered to serve the people of faith, and now you're telling me that we need to be worried about politics and government? And just as that thought was going through my mind, the dean, the professor, said this. He said, you know, we must be concerned about politics because look how many lives are impacted. Wow. Shame on me. A reminder that our engagement in the political world is important as Christian people. But here's the thing that I think is shaping me more fully through the nature of Jesus to understand his kingdom wasn't of this world. I think of the words of Bill Haslam, former governor of Tennessee, who wrote recently in his book, Faithful Presence. Here's what Haslam said that I think speaks miles to how we approach our faith in our civic pursuit of the world around us. Haslam said, in these times, we need to be certain that our politics is driven by our faith rather than our politics shaping our faith. See, that's the essence, I think, of Jesus' statement today. When he said, I'm not going to become king because my kingdom is not of this world. It's our faith that shapes our willingness to serve and be structured. So, as we take that portion of the text today and set that aside, let us now look more closely at what this lesson of Scripture says to us about the miracles that Jesus performs in our text today. We hear of two different miracles. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the only miracle outside of the resurrection that was written about in all four Gospels. And then we hear the miracle of Jesus walking on water. Now, in these two scriptures, these two miracle stories, I found today four lessons that Jesus uses to communicate to us about His kindness and grace and love and salvation for the world. Now, these are not all compassing, saying that these four elements that I'm going to speak on today share all the truth about miracles, but these are four truths that are really clear to me in today's passage. So as we reflect upon the lessons of Jesus' miracles today, I'm going to use four C's to help us remember and to reflect upon how Jesus communicates His good news through the miracles that He gave then and now to us on earth. The first C that we see communicated through miracles today is God's compassion. Our text tells us that as Jesus gathered and those come seeking to hear and receive the good news, that He asked His disciples, His friends, where are we going to find food for these people? He cared about their very daily, menial, it would seem, maybe in the eyes of others, needs. Why? Because He had compassion upon His people. There was a genuine love and affection. So God, friends, uses miracles indeed to communicate to us His compassion, His affection for us as His children. Isn't that encouraging to know? That God would send down a miracle of heaven just to let us know how valued we are in the eyes of the Savior. The second C in our text today that is communicated to us through miracles is that God offers us not only compassion, but also comfort. Miracles provide comfort for us in our journey of faith and life, in family, in business, and engagement in the world around us. Our text says that as the disciples were on the sea, as they were journeying several miles, they were in the midst of a storm. And it was in the storm of life, that Jesus came to them and what? Offered to them comfort. Friends, hear the good news. Whatever storms you are going through now, whatever storms that you're about to journey into, and certainly we as people of faith know that the storms that we have been through, that God was with us throughout the storm, comforting and sustaining us. Thanks be to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that He saw the need for our comfort so important that He gifts us with miracles of grace to comfort us in our needs. Comfort us for past actions and future decisions with His words of life. Another C that the miracles of our text today talk to us about, the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on the water, is that God uses miracles to conquer whatever we're facing. In the text, as I alluded to, as the disciples were faced with these turbulent winds, not only did Jesus come and give them comfort, hold their hand, He also conquered the storm, as the other Gospels tell us. They tell us that as He got into the boats, the winds ceased. He conquered their fears. He sustained them in their time of peril. Friends, you are beloved children of God. So much so that our Heavenly Father sent His Son into the world to establish His kingdom eternally in heaven by conquering our very daily perils. Friends, whatever storm you're going through, whatever illness or brokenness or peril in relationships, past mistakes and problems that plague you, know that our God not only comforts us in those, but through miracles, at times when we least expect it, God conquers our adversaries. Now hear this last one. This last C. Maybe at times you're thinking, Jody, I prayed. I've sought God's deliverance, God to conquer, and it hasn't happened yet. Haven't we all been there? When we see those unanswered prayers, when we see those who seem, let's just be honest, let's call it what it is, when we see those who seem so unworthy, who get what they desire from God, and then we strive to be faithful and genuine in our faith and kind in our ministry to others, and it seems that God doesn't always conquer when we want and how we want. Haven't we all been there at times? I certainly have. I hope y'all have. I hope I'm not the only wearisome soul in this faith journey. Hear this good news. Of the last C of the miracles communicated to us, miracles not only comfort us and offer God's compassion and offer God's conquering, but miracles also are for us a concourse unto our ultimate deliverance as children of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, many of us have traveled through airlines. Kenny and Lynn and Monya and I, we even spent the night in a concourse once. Where was that? In Washington, D.C.? I should remember it. Concourse C, I think it was. A horrific place. I had to sleep on one of those things where they bling your luggage around. The rest of them didn't sleep at all. I was snoring there on that conveyor belt. It was a concourse. Now, what about those concourses? We often know what are in those concourses. There's places to eat, right? Not good places to sleep. But what concourses are, they're a means to help us along our journey toward our destination. Friends, hear the good news. In our text, we're reminded that God gives us miracles as a concourse to sustain us along life's journey until our ultimate victory and destination in that heavenly realm where every peril is truly conquered forever. Now, what am I saying here? Friends, have hope. Have hope in the miracles that remind us, even when everything isn't conquered when we want or how we want, may we know this, that miracles of God's grace are reminders to us that ultimately we will be delivered through the concourse of God's grace. Sometimes now, even as we pray, so we remain faithful in our prayers, continuing to ask God to comfort us, to conquer our perils, and to have compassion on us even now, but to know that ultimately God will deliver through the miracle of life and love that never relents in pursuing us as His children. So I pray this day we go forth still praying for miracles, still hoping that God will answer us in our perils, all the while knowing that our deliverance is sure and certain through our Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks this day for miracles of your grace. Miracles of your kindness, that you love us so much, God, that you offer us in your love in ways that we can't even conceive. You give us your compassion. You comfort us and you conquer whatever we're facing. Through your love and grace, oh God, you equip us to give your love to the world around us in what we say and do. So we pray this day for our friends and family, those you've entrusted us to minister to most of all, those closest to us. We ask, O God, that when their wants can be in accordance with your holy need, that you would pour forth, yes, miracles of grace into their lives. We pray your hedge of protection around those closest to us you've entrusted us to minister to most of all. We pray for those from whom we're estranged as well, not just those we're closest to, but those we're furthest from. Will you bring healing and wholeness as you open and prepare both of our hearts to be receptive to your guidance and for your glory? We pray for your church, for the ministry of this congregation, God, that we will be your light and love wherever there's darkness and hate, that we will proclaim hope in this community through your goodness, O God, and through your grace. We do pray for our nation. We do understand the importance of government and expressing ourselves, but we want, O God, our politics and our government to be driven by our faith and not the other way around. Help us, O God, through the steps of Jesus to engage our world. We pray for our president. We pray for our Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court. We lift up our military and everyone who provides our safety and protection as a nation. May you keep our liberty and our freedom, O God, that as a strong nation, we may serve the world around us, reflective of your love, that they will look and say, America is good because America is striving to serve as they've been served by God's grace and for God's glory. Finally, God, we pray for everyone on our prayer list. We lift up our friends and family, those who are sickest, those who are facing illnesses or grief or loss. Will you bring healing and wholeness, O Lord? Will you bring deliverance? Even as you brought miracles unto this earth to deliver people from sickness and separation, to offer comfort and compassion, God, we pour out our hearts to you now, asking for miracles of grace for every person on our prayer list and the names that are unspoken but are written on our hearts today. Whether the needs be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, O God, you are the physician and the restorer of us all. And now, Lord, as your children, we lift our voices as one and say the words together you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as people of God, let us now affirm our faith as we prepare to go forth as light and love in the world around us. Let us together remember and affirm what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, dear church, sojourners of the faith, brothers and sisters of God's grace and kindness, will you receive with me our Lord's blessing from His Holy Scripture? May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance, His gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.